You're almost out of the woods now. You can see the exit right ahead of you and light streaming in. Still raining, but at least it's light. Richard, you're still looking around in the forest ground for anything that could be useful on your journey ahead. You have a little bit of knowledge about natural medicine, although your father never really approved of that. He thinks it's a bunch of mumbo-jumbo, but you know better from being in the front lines and having to use what you had available. As you're looking around, scouting, looking at the trees, looking if there's different bark on the trees that can be used, bandage, you see someone. About 100 meters away, you'd say. Someone standing in the forest.
I blink a little, and I try and get my bearings. Maybe see if I can find a little stone or a log just to stand up on and see if I'm really seeing this. Is there someone out here? Why on earth would someone be out this far?
As you're trying to get a better view of this person, you can definitely tell that this is a woman. She's wearing a dress. Seems her shape, her hair seems familiar. She's standing with her back against you. Just standing there. Doesn't seem like she's doing much, just looking. And for a moment, you think it looks like Rebecca?
Well, I think to myself, that definitely can't be, but I will just start walking a little in their direction. I'm not going to call out, but I just kind of motion to Karen, like, with my hand, just like, I'm heading this way for a second. I obviously don't run, I want to be careful, but yeah, I'm just going to get a little closer. That should be fine.
Can I see what he sees?
You cannot. But you're not sure why he's going that direction. He hasn't really said that he's seen anything. You just see Richard heading off into the forest.
Before he gets too far, I want to reach out, grab a hand on his shoulder, and say, "Whoa, whoa, let's not wander off too far."
I turn to face him, and then I look back, gesturing, "No, I just, there's someone up ahead. Can't you see him?"
I'm squinting in the direction that he's pointing, and then nothing there, right?
Nothing there. But Richard, you're more and more sure that this is actually Rebecca in the forest. What is she doing there?
I am overcome with worry because she shouldn't be out here this far from Hulkin. This is dangerous. And I kind of just nod at Karen and I just start making my way a little quicker. Again, I don't want to run and stumble over a root, but I do need to catch up with her because this can't be right. This can't be right.
From my perspective, is it possible that he sees something that I don't? Like looking through the trees and maybe he just caught a glimpse of something? Or is the terrain such that, like, it's obvious there's no one there?
No, it's dense. It's dense forest, so he might have seen something.
Well, even though Richard isn't taking off at too severe a clip, I don't like the idea of wandering around aimlessly, but I'm also not going to let him go alone, if for no other reason that I want to see what's going on. So I'll follow him, and as I, you know, veer off at 45 from the trail, I'll look over my shoulder back at Byrne and Owen and say, hang on a second, Richard thinks he sees something.
Be careful, there's treacherous visions about.
Yes, be careful, Richard.
Just stay at the trail. We don't need all four of us wandering off and not being able to find the path again.
I don't feel any of us should be wandering off.
Yeah, I agree, but... And then I'll just look at Richard.
I confess I've become perhaps a little deaf to what they're saying because I am very concerned. Am I getting any closer to this woman?
You are. You're getting closer and closer. Yeah, this is Rebecca. You recognize her right away. She's still standing with her face away from you.
I start trying to approach her, and finally I call out, "Hello? I don't want to say her name because I feel if I do, that will confirm it's her somehow. It can't be her. Hello there. Are you all right? What are you doing out here?
You are now just a couple of meters away. This is Rebecca. You're 100% sure. Even though it shouldn't be possible, it couldn't be possible. Is this her? It can't be anyone else. The figure doesn't really react to your calling out.
Well, enough of this nonsense. This is ridiculous. Again, looking down and then looking forwards, just walk forwards. Rebecca? Rebecca? What are you doing out here? Rebecca?
Now you hear her voice. Richard? Is that you? Oh, Richard, I've missed you so. I got lost in the woods. I didn't know where I was going. Can you please help me home, Richard?
Hearing her voice, finally, I quicken my pace and I attempt to reach for her shoulder.
As she reaches her shoulder, Becca turns around. You're just about to say something to her. But then you see something that goes beyond your wildest imagination. The body of Rebecca is, well, her body. Shoes are the same, feet are the same, legs, hips, torso, arms and shoulders, her hair cascading down, but her face, instead of being that beautiful, youthful, happy young face that you're used to seeing. Face of a rat stares right back at you. A giant rat. It opens its mouth and talks to you like Rebecca. It's Rebecca's voice. Richard, you left me alone here. Richard, why didn't you come to me? Let's go home, Richard.
I step back. I can't even word a response. I'm just struck mute by this vision. And I just step back. And then after a few seconds, just... Who are you? Who are you? You're not Rebecca. You're not bloody Rebecca!
Cowan, what do you do?
I am jaw agape. This point. I think second to Owen, Richard has scored highest on the has his shit together scale in the group, and seeing him lose it like this in the presence of, from my perspective, empty air is not something I was prepared to deal with. I reach out, approaching slowly from behind, and lay a hand on his shoulder. Richard, buddy, come back to me, buddy. There's nothing there.
I recoil from your touch, but I do turn to you and look at you with sort of wild eyes, and then I just look back. Is the figure still there?
It is, and now it's not standing up anymore. It's on all fours, crawling towards you. Walking towards you. Richard, come back. Why are you running from me? My love crawls towards you. And then, Cowan, you feel Richard yanked away from you. You see him yanked away from you and dragged across the forest floor as Richard, the figure in front of you, is grabbing hold of your legs and is dragging you along the forest floor. You are in its grasp.
I flail and begin trying to kick at this thing, and I just look to Karen and I just yell as I try and reach for him like, help! Karen, help me!
Owen and Byrne, you hear this too now.
At this point, I had been looking around trying to find any more tracks. It's like we've been walking so long and not found anything, and then as his shouting comes through, What's going on? I rush, taking Owen with me.
I run toward the sound. Trail be damned. Sounds like we are in for more horrors.
Cowan, what do you do?
I'm going to try something bold, but perhaps not intelligent. How fast is Richard being pulled along?
Pretty fast. But not as fast, so fast you can catch up with it.
I'm less worried about catching up with Richard, and more worried about Richard moving so fast that as I raise the shotgun to shoot ahead of him, like if someone was on the ground pulling him where that thing would be, I would like to shoot it, but not Richard. And I want to know if he's moving so fast that there'd be like a penalty involved in the roll. Because I don't want to kill Richard.
No, but there is a penalty involved in the fact that you don't know what you're aiming for, really.
So I'm going to raise the shotgun. Just spend a few, like a half second, maybe a full second if I'm feeling generous, lining up the bead of the path that he's being pulled. And maybe half a meter ahead of him, trying to lead the shot. And I'm going to squeeze the trigger.
All right. You know what rolls to make?
I do. Ooh, a 12. Under 47. That's a hard success.
And what weapon do you have?
A shotgun.
As you pull the trigger, you obviously can't see anything. It to you just looks like you're shooting into thin air. But Richard, you do see the creature flinch. The bullets doesn't hurt it. But it's like it's aware that there's something here. Something that might harm it, potentially. So it stops. It makes a loud squeal, so loud that it rings in your ears, in your brain, in your entire body, down your spine. So loud that the drums in your ear, at least one of them, explodes and you are in excruciating pain. You know exactly what this is. You've seen it many times before on the front line. Grenades ruining people's hearing. And your left ear right now is just one high squealing tone. And a little bit of blood trickles down the side of your ear. But the creature stops. It drops you. And disappears.
I roll away and clutch at my ear. I can't help but yell out in pain.
I run up to Richard. I don't know if we can catch up, because I guess they have been making at quite some speed that he's been pulled into the forest.
What the heavens is going on?
What is it? And I look down and I see his ear and I see his blood running. I try to help him as much as I can with any, if there is any first aid I can do, or if I just bring out some bandages trying to patch him up.
Something was pulling him, but nothing was... He was being... I'm just, like, gesturing towards the ground, like maybe they can see the dirt or, like, the gravel or whatever having been disturbed by him being pulled along, and Richard is obviously in distress, so I don't feel like I have to explain it a ton, but I'm just babbling out at this moment, trying to convey what just happened.
What did you see, boy? What happened?
I saw a thing. One of the things is grabbed me, but it's
and what I thing? Kind of, what did it look like?
Rat man, woman, I don't know. Ow, Mr. Byrne, the bandage, please.
Slap him, Byrne.
I don't do that. I try to hold him firm and still, like his head, so I can look into his eyes. But I also do examine him if there's a wound I can actually do something about.
You can't really see a wound. It's inside the ear.
I stare back at you, and I just try and bite my tongue a little and say quietly, "Just, please, Mr. Byrne, you're using the bandage wrong. I need it. Let me do it. Please."
I don't think there's much to bandage. I just wipe off some of the blood. Just lie down for a bit. What did you say? A rat man?
I don't really answer because the pain in my ear is distracting me from all questions, really. But I do try and focus on what I know. Is there anything I can do to at least make my ear less painful that I have on me?
Your dad was so kind to give you a large pill glass of opiates. And you know that this is gonna hurt. Bursting an eardrum is painful. And so you know exactly how much to take, but you can't really do much about the loss of hearing at the moment.
I quickly reach into my kit and I take the pill. Are there any side effects of taking these pills? Will I be drowsy or a little out of it?
Well, you know more or less how much you need for your body weight in order to still be functional, but have some of the pain go away. So you should be fine.
Yes, I know. And I'm really focusing on that logic and that reasoning, because to be honest with you, I don't want to think about how that just happened. And I just take the pill and I clutch my ear a little and I say, Mr. Byrne, please, just a moment. I burst my eardrum. That's what's happened. I burst my eardrum.
I just nod and I stand up and I look around in the forest warily. There's been no more sign that we're going in the right direction. But I think we're soon out of it.
I think we can find the trail again. I'm sorry, Reverend. I'm sorry. It's not a grenade. Whatever happened, it made a noise. Loud as a grenade. I can't explain how that could be. But that's what's happened. I'm okay. I think I've just got some scratches. I'm fine. I've got painkillers.
Isn't it strange with a noise that only you can hear and yet it could affect you and your body?
You mean to tell me none of you heard that noise?
I didn't hear the noise. I didn't see what had you. You were muttering a name. There was nobody there.
And yet you still shot something. You hit it, almost.
I don't have an answer to that statement. I'm just going to kind of stare back at him. Maybe shrug a little bit. I didn't know what else to do. But Richard, you were being pulled across the ground by thin air.
That's not how it looked to me. But I'm thankful, Karen. I try and stand up, dabbing at my bloodied ear, trying to focus. Father, maybe we should all from this point on never again split up. I'm sorry, that was stupid of me. It's very irresponsible of me, Reverend. I'm sorry.
Richard, I know it's difficult to do, but you need to calm down. There's things out here that are clearly playing with our minds. You can't be held responsible for one of these things taking hold. What we need to do as a group is, when one of these things occurs, the first thing we do is ask everyone else, can you see that? If the answer is no, we make every bloody effort to just keep on walking.
And I mutter very quietly, just to Owen, I thought it was Rebecca, I'm sorry.
You don't need to apologize, my lad. This place is playing tricks. There's something devilish at work here. We just need to remain focused from here on out. Your ear will recover, but we need to keep moving. Do you need me to quote passage and verse about doubting Thomas and needing to ask the other disciples, do you see what I see? Well, that's what we need to do. We all need to be filled with doubt now. We're certain to our cause, but the things around us are not trying to help. They're trying to hinder us. They're trying to slow us down. We're stronger when we're together. Got that?
I give Owen a firm nod, and I feel a bit glum. My ear really hurts. But I try and steel myself, because at least that wasn't Rebecca. Rebecca is back in Holkin, and she is safe. She's not here. She is not that thing. And I just nod and quietly, meekly say, I reckon we should be moving on. Let's move on together. Let's do it.
That's right.
Why don't you make a sanity roll?
Certainly.
I'm assuming I am also on the roll for sanity train, considering that I watched him being pulled by thin air.
Yes, yeah, I would say that.
56 under 65.
Okay. Well, I want you to roll a d6 and take that as minus sanity points.
I also miss by a whole bunch. That is 2 for me.
3 for me.
Okay. Well, you make it out of the forest. Not unscathed. It wasn't a pleasant trip at all. There's a lot of physical torment and a hell of a lot of mental torment. But you make it out. And as you make it out, it seems like the path you walk just stops in front of a large rocky hill that almost goes up vertically. In front of you, there's a large gaping man-made hole. A mountain pass of sorts, so perhaps to you, at least, Carwin, it looks like an old mine. But it's completely enveloped by darkness at this point. You do see another way that doesn't necessarily lead you into the mine, but around it. It's a tiny, tiny path on the side of the mountain. It seems walkable, you think, but also dangerous. The mountain towers over you. This is the beginning of the mines. This is the beginning of the mountains. You're all standing in front of it.
I'll convey this information to the rest of the group. Well, here we are. This is old work. Gesturing at the timbers. The rock is hand-hewn. God, I can't even... This is so old, but they didn't teach us this in mine school. And that, I'll gesture up towards the path. It looks like an old, maybe a mule track up to something further up the mountain, but I remember you're not supposed to trust that kind of thing. They have to be maintained, the erosion, it's treacherous footing, loose rocks.
Any sign that any of it has been used recently? I go up and I try to just look for if there's thick cobwebs or anything else, or if there are any tracks.
Where are you looking exactly? At the entrance of the mountain pass, or at the little path that goes around it?
The entrance, then.
How much don't you make a spot hit and roll?
Can I try the same, but for the path? Is there evidence of recent travel?
Yeah, you sure can.
That's a 40 under 60 for me.
So as you walk closer to this mountain pass, it's quite big. It's bigger than it looked from afar. It towers over you, but it's just a big black hole. You can see nothing in there. The only thing that would indicate that there has been recent usage is an oil lamp that sits on the side. It doesn't look like it's an older oil lamp. It doesn't look like it's been standing there since the mines were left empty. No, this looks new. And in fact, there's actually still a little bit of oil left in the lamp.
Look, there. A lamp. Someone's been here. And I look over to Carwin to see if he finds anything as he is looking.
For my part, I rolled a 70 under 85.
Well, you look around the path, and it's pretty difficult to tell, because there's a lot of wind up here, a lot of things just get blown around all the time, you can't really tell if there's any footsteps, so you're not really successful here, you don't really see that there's been any activity on this side.
I'll report as much, and add that the fact that it hasn't been traveled recently is all the more reason, in my mind, to not travel it now.
And I look at the others. I looked over to Richards to see how he's coping.
I'm frowning and holding my ears still, but at least I don't seem to be in such pain. Kind of, though, look to the others and say, wait, how much further do you reckon we need to go? I mean, we are now at the mountains. Where were we planning to camp? Further on?
Look at the time. What is it?
Is the sun setting in the background, actually. It's around 7:30.
With what we've seen, with what's happened so far, do you really think striking camp out here is the right idea? Something got a hold of Burn, something came after Richard. You really think the best idea is to sit around here and wait around a campfire for the next thing to show up? It's going to be dark in the mine no matter what time of day it is. I've got my lamp and that lamp.
I'm not entirely certain the mine is going to be any safer than out here, but at least it will keep the wind off our backs.
I sigh and just nod, not being very talkative anymore, but just happy to do whatever I'm told.
My one reservation, Carwin, and I defer to your expertise, is remember we're up here to see where these lights are emanating from. If we're any depth down in that mine, we might not see them.
Well, someone has been here. If it is connected to the children, I'd say it's a good idea to go in and have a look.
At least just inside the entrance. I don't want to go much deeper than that. We do need some rest, and I want to be able to see outside in case these lights start up. It's quite possible they're coming from down here, and if that's so, well, I suppose fortune favours us, but yes, we need to stay aware of why we're here.
That's a convincing argument from my perspective. All right, we'll set up a watch, or a sentry, if that's what you call it. We can all hang out here in the entrance of the mine, and we all agree no one goes chasing after any lost loved ones or strange figures, right?
I nod grimly.
I am already convinced that something out here is going to throw my wife at me. But at the same time, I'm, much as it hurts me to say so, I don't think my Esther's got it in her to hike all the way out here. So any kind of illusion like that is, if it takes purchase over me, it's going to be more than just normal convincing. There'll be something more supernatural at work.
Well, up we go then into this entrance. Just have a look.
Before we get too far ahead of ourselves, can I have the group pause a moment and I'll say, just give me a sec to see how safe this is. I would like to use my knowledge of the mines, check out the timber work, see if this is the kind of place that's on the verge of collapse or if it's sturdy. I have the fire damp lantern, so I should know if it's, you know, if it reeks of methane or if there's something lurking in the air.
Well, you definitely can. You don't even need to roll for that, because that's just one of your expertises. You take a good look around. You do what was natural for you when you were back in the mines. This was one of the many things you had to do every single day. You had to make sure that where you worked was safe, even if your foreman didn't want you to, and he thought it was a waste of time, you did it anyway because you liked to live. You look around. It's an old mine, that is for sure. But it doesn't seem like it's about to collapse on itself just now. It's not the safest mine you've ever seen. Some of the woodwork is a little bit rotten, but you would wager that it's probably got a good 20, 30 years left before the wood finally gives back and the whole thing is collapsed.
Well, then I'll relay this information to everybody else with a voice of confidence. We need some good news. So I might overstate it a little bit in terms of, I'll leave out the 20 or 30 years part, but I'll let people know, walking over and rapping hard on the timber. Well, the good news is this isn't coming down anytime soon. That's one less thing for us to worry about.
I look at him and the mine very skeptically. Not going to give away an inch that I trust that he knows what he's doing, but I'm also not trying to take the lead from him.
So then the plan is to strike up camp here and wait for the sun to set fully, huh?
Sounds like a good plan to me.
Sad, we could have a little look inside just to see if there is any tracks of, you know, the children.
If we're planning on delving into this mine, we might as well just call out. If there's someone in there, and they want to call back, we'll hear them. There'll be an echo, won't there?
Hmm.
At least if they're anywhere within reach.
Are we certain after what just happened we want to trust whatever's calling back? If something calls back?
Well, quite honest, if there's something down there, we should probably know that now. Rather than pitching up camp and hoping for the best.
That is a good point, well made. So Carwin will just stare quietly at the floor.
Hello down there! Is there anybody down there?
There. You don't hear anything.
Well, that's good enough for me.
So in terms of directions that people are looking as the time goes, do we want to split responsibilities between folks covering the descent into the mine and folks watching the mountain?
I suppose that's a good idea. Yes, let's set up. Maybe I'll go first and I just sort of sit on a rock or something, whatever's nearby. And I just say, I'll keep an eye out for the moment.
There's four men and two guns between us. I guess we all know where I'm going.
Without trying to sound too full of doom and gloom, I don't think that the guns are going to do us much good, whatever it is we're up against.
Well, I don't know about that, Reverend. I'm pretty sure what I saw didn't like being shot at.
Well, fair enough. So what is it then? Are the two young men going to watch the mountains and us old fellas, I look over at Byrne, we'll get our first shut eye, and then after we've slept for a few hours you can wake us and we'll swap.
I nod and I take out a little ration bar I had in my pocket and I just start chewing on it.
How do you guys set up camp? Is there any specific way, or do you just set up some tents and that's it?
I guess. I mean, we probably don't need tents inside the mine, and you just... by no means is Owen an expert on these things, but it seems if your purpose is to be on watch, what you need more than anything else is just a shelter of some kind, more than a tent to sleep in.
Hmm. And roll out something to lie on, yeah.
But not too comfortable. We don't want you falling asleep.
Yes, well, I think my little tent kit would probably be a little bit modular, so not too difficult to just make a makeshift little canopy, which I'll start doing, and I ask, should we get a little fire going or keep it low-lit for the moment, in case people are... I can't believe I'm saying this, in case people are watching us.
Well, let's all share something to eat then, before any of us get some sleep.
Mm. Aye, that'll be good. I start unpacking from my bag. I take out a few tins of various items.
As we make to sit, I take a moment to check myself over. Already I'm slightly covered in mud, and my nice jacket has a few small tears in it now after I was dragged across the ground. I try not to think too much on my experience. It's clear I had to have been having some sort of hallucination, but at the same time, something really did drag me across the ground and scream violently in my ear. It still hurts, although at least the medication's helping. How is this even possible? Maybe there really was something there, but instead of seeing what it really was, my mind, I reckon, made something up instead. Maybe what I actually saw was far worse. I find myself thinking again what the others have said in the last few days. Rats with human faces. It causes a chill to go down my spine. So, I ignore it for now, and I focus instead on what lies ahead. I realize now I'm both very tired and hungry, so perhaps this rest really is a good idea. It will probably do us all some good. I set about helping the others unpack the tent and camping gear I bought, and setting it all out. I do feel grateful that we're at least now going to have a small rest, at least for a little bit.
Hopefully this will at least make my ear a little better.
As we're sitting down, I start rubbing my leg. Where he held me as he pulled me down. Was that a trick of the mind? Some kind of ghost? Some kind of the devil's work? I don't know. I really... Oh, what am I doing up here? I should be down getting the house ready. Be responsible for when she shows up. Irma with Dale and Sally. In a way, the last few years, it feels like now that I'm looking back at it, might have been the best days of my life. Despite the war burning all around, the constant fear, being close to them, being calm for their sake, being someone who they could rely on, that felt like nothing had ever been more important. Now I'm off like this, up into mountains to rescue Dylan and Nesta. But who would I be if I weren't here? The things that are happening here and around the town. Could I really let Irma, Dale, and Sally come to a place like that? Could I be that man? No. I would rather make my stand here and now. We do what we must do and hopefully end this. Ghosts don't leave behind lanterns. Someone has been here. Someone has a foul plan for these children, I'm sure of it. We must stop that. We must stop what is going on. And trust that will put the town at peace. No more three-eyed rats. No more mania. No more people not trusting each other. And no more damned blackout curtains.
And you cook. You talk. For the first time, it actually seems like you're having a pretty nice time. There's something about leaving Hagen behind for a while. Something about leaving behind all of the dramatic events, all of the terror and fear, and all of the responsibilities that somehow makes it feel like it's all gonna be okay. There's a sense of closeness in the group. You even share a little bit of alcohol between one another. Not too much, you all want to be alert. But this is the first time that you feel like you're actually sitting down and talking just about life. This is a well-deserved break for the group. And as the sun settles between the mountains and the last rays disappears from the rocky ground, the first shift, night shift, starts, and the first two goes to bed to hopefully survive the first night in the mountains.
You have listened to an episode of Red Moon Roleplaying, where we play the campaign The Whispers of the Mountains for Call of Cthulhu 7th Edition. The Whispers of the Mountains was written by Clara Herbel, who was also our keeper. We were joined by Aaron Hammonds from Queen's Court Games and our dear friend Matthew Dawkins. The music is from the Cthulhu, Nyarlathotep, Jog-Sothoth, Shub-Niggurath, and Asatoth compilations by our friends at Cryochamber and the Paleo Wolf album Genesis. Check them all out at cryochamber.bandcamp.com or their YouTube channel for more music for your gaming table. We would like to give massive thanks to our champions of the Red Moon, Martin Hoyschobert, Nastasha Rawlerson, Simon Cooper, David, Julia, Camilla, Ludwig Manford, Bob Lange, Julian, and Cameron for their generous support. And we would of course also like to thank all of our other patrons. Without your support, the show would not be possible. If you want to support our work, please check us out on Patreon. You can get access to bonus campaigns for Cult of the Lost and Coriolis there, as well as get early and raw access to all of our recordings. You can also hear your name read on the show as a champion of the Red Moon. Most importantly, that support is what keeps the show going, so do check us out there. Thank you again for listening. And remember, that is not dead, which can eternal lie. And with strange eons, even death may die.